This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, June 21st, 2017, and we welcome the official start of summer with Tristan H. Cockcroft. I'm Eric Carabel. Josh Macri's producing today, and we're going to talk some baseball. Tristan, Corey Seager hit three home runs. That's like the only way anybody can overshadow what Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger are doing right now, right? They have like a three or a Scooter Gennett game or something crazy like that. These guys, these rookies are unbelievable.
I was watching each and every one of those at-bats. By the way, you don't want me to do any little Fresh Prince summertime falsetto voice?
I do.
No?
I would like you to do that.
Oh, summer, summer, summertime. Oh, that's horrible. Everybody hates us now.
No, thank God no one's listening.
That was a great game. That was a lot of fun. Not for Mets fans, though.
You're not a Mets fan. You're a Yankees fan. You should enjoy that.
Well, don't ask the Bias Cat.
Bias Cat would say that if you're a Yankees fan, you want the Mets to lose 12-0 every day. All right? Now, as a Phillies fan, I'm just happy they scored a run yesterday. Only one. You look at the final score of a game, and you see 8-1. You're like, oh, they got blown out. No, only in the 11th inning. All right, lots to discuss today, including Bellinger and Judge and Rizzo and lots of fun stuff. So here is the buzz. You know, I can't remember a time where these were rookie, like, obviously rookies put on shows once in a while. They didn't last year. Okay, the top rookie home run hitters last year, I don't think they hit 30. And Bellinger and Judge are going to do that by the All-Star break. Yeah. Right?
Well, that's incredible is that if you go to our stats page and you look at the leaders for each of the two leagues, yeah, rookies! Rookies lead both leagues. It's crazy. Now I'm trying to go back to last year to see if any of them did get to 30 home runs. I think you're right.
Well,
it was close.
Story didn't make it, right? I mean,
and Seager just missed.
They combined for like 50 homers,
right?
And now I'm thinking Bellinger and Judge might each hit 50 alone. And
okay,
it was
27-26. Story, okay. 27, Seager 26, and six rookies at 20 plus homers.
All right, so six rookies, but nobody like this. I mean, I'm sure there's precedence for something like this, rookies doing amazing things. But these weren't even the rookies we expected to do this.
Well, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper that year. How about 87 when you had Mark McGwire and Wally Joyner, Will Clark? There's probably a few other years like that. By the way, it's not just the rookies. It's everybody. Have you looked at the home run paces lately?
Oh, yeah. It's way up again.
But did you see that we're on pace to annihilate the all-time single-month record for home runs?
Yeah, I mean, every night I'm seeing, I mean, look, it's not just Scooter Gennett. I mean, every night everybody's hitting a ton of home runs. Verlander's complained about it, too. What did I see? The Dodgers are averaging three homers per game in the past, like, couple weeks. I mean, yeah.
I'm looking at the home run percentages. I'm looking at the little pitch tracker tool. And, I mean, I'm consistently seeing, like, 4.8 home run percentages. I mean, that's crazy. It used to be they were in the threes, and that would be considered good.
Well, what does that mean for fantasy? Like, tell me, what this – does this change the way you build a team? Is it easier now to get power? I wrote my blog entry today about available power hitters like that nobody owns, like Matt Davidson and Mike Zunino and even Scooter, who's probably going to end up with 20 home runs. Does it change the way you construct a team? Does it change the way you trade? Does it change anything?
Yeah, I think it does kind of deflate the value of a home run, which is what we saw on the player radar. We talked about that in great detail during the preseason. The entire offseason, I think you and I both faced questions about whether we thought that the home run environment of 2016 would carry over. And, I mean, the answer to that question so far is absolutely it has. In fact, it's probably more home run friendly this year than it was last year. Not by a lot, but... Like, all I know is that you don't want to own a 220 hitting 40 homer guy. They're much less valuable than they were 5 years ago.
Which is what I have on one of my teams that's doing really badly. I've been telling you that for a while. I can't get rid of these guys. I mean, nobody in their right mind would trade for Pujols, Chris Davis, either, really. Mm-hmm. I have Todd Frazier on that team. Like, I have like a potpourri of low batting average home run guys on my keeper team.
I like it, a potpourri.
And I can't get rid of them. I don't know. I'm not even asking anymore. Like, I'm just going to have to just let Pujols go as a keeper, which is fine.
It's why Joey Gallo is a lot less valuable than I think people would have perceived. If somebody told you today that Joey Gallo would have 18 home runs on June 21st, people would say, that's a great year. He was a tremendous value. He should be started in every shallow mixed league. Not necessarily.
No, I mean, is he even a top 50 hitter? I'm going to look on the player rater
right now. I doubt it. I doubt
he is, too, because he's not stealing bases. He's not hitting for average.
The other thing is, a lot of the home run leaders have pretty good batting averages. I mean, you mentioned Judge at the top of the show. I mean, the fact that he's also hitting for average.
Wow, Joey Gallo, despite all those home runs, is the number 100 batter on the player rater.
Yeah. He's a marginal worse
than
guy
Ben
in the
Gamel.
Shallow mixed.
Ben Gamel, Melky Cabrera, Jose Peraza, Brandon Phillips is ahead of him. Trey Mancini. Yeah, you know what? This means, I think the biggest takeaway for me in this new home run environment is you're right. The low batting average guys, it's hard to own them. Because you need the high batting average power.
I look at the list of guys with 15 home runs, and a lot of these batting averages are very good, and it's going to make the guys who don't have a good batting average much less valuable. I mean, there's very few guys I'm looking at here who are hitting sub 250.
So Bellinger and Judge, would you rather have? And Seager. Let's throw Corey Seager had three home runs last night, and he's like, hey, look at me. I'm still pretty good, too. Bellinger's going nuts every day, but Bellinger, Seager, Judge, rank them for me for the rest of this season. I'm serious, actually. I can't believe I am, but I am.
Bellinger, Seager, and Judge.
And I'm going to check your rankings. I don't know when they were last updated.
Yeah, I've got a ranking in the process right now. I have them ranked Seager, Judge, and Bellinger, and I think I'd go that direction. But I really like the Seager versus Judge debate. And I think the only reason I'd pick Seager is just that I think it's tougher to fill the middle infield, but I don't know that that's necessarily true.
I don't know if it is either, especially
I watch Judge a lot. He's phenomenal.
Is that the order you would have for a dynasty league?
I really like Bellinger long term. That's a
over
great
Seager
person debate. Well, no, I probably would put...
I still have Seager first.
I think I'd have the three of them. I think all three of them are going to be in my top 30, 40?
10, 20? I mean...
Well, you can't put all three in your top 10.
No, but why not? Like, why can't they be in your second round right now? Why can't all three of these guys be top 20 players? We put Trey Turner in there this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that there's so many exciting talents who are aged between 22 and 26, let's say. So, I mean, a numbers game, I push them at just outside the top 10. Top 20, to your point, absolutely.
All right, so we're one game away from Anthony Rizzo being eligible at second base, and we've joked about it for a while, but we're one game away. What does that really mean to you? Are you going to adjust your rankings? If you had Rizzo in a league, it doesn't necessarily mean you just move him to second base right away, because there might not be a Yonder Alonso just sitting there on free agency. So, or it might be Brandon Phillips, who is just as valuable.
Right, right. The thing is, second base, I made the point in the preseason that second base was nearly as deep as first base. It was actually surprisingly deep.
But it's not,
deep.
Though, right?
It is.
Not with Zimmerman and Alonso and Hosmer and...
That's what's neutralized it. And Eric, you brought this up too. I mean, we both talked about this, I think it was a month or 6 weeks ago or something like that first base has become surprisingly deep on the lower tiers. So what Rizzo's second base eligibility is going to do is it's going to give people the flexibility to bump them over there if you were already weak at that position. And I think it might be a little easier to dive into that pool at first.
So the Braves say that Freddie Freeman, when he comes back, it could be late next month, might play some third base, which he has a little bit of experience at, not a lot in the low minors. But that's because Matt Adams has 1,000 OPS and 10 home runs for the Braves. Do you see that actually as happening, as realistic? Or, like, if you're a Matt Adams owner, and I preach this all the time, just take the numbers you can while you can. If Matt Adams stops playing in 5-6 weeks, then you look elsewhere. But for now, you know, Matt Adams is doing really well. He's doing the same thing that that Logan Morrison and Alonso and all these other guys are doing. Do you think it's actually viable that Freddie Freeman plays third base?
My gut says no, but and then the reason why is I thought that they would bring up the discussion of Adams in a corner outfield spot because the Cardinals went that direction. But I think that the Braves are on to something here, that they don't have production at third base and they need to at least give it a try. I still remember, and Eric, you know, I go back to this many times. I remember when Don Mattingly played third base because they just didn't have somebody else to put there for a couple of games, and he threw left-handed from the position, so it was supremely awkward. But why not try it? Why not?
I have no problem trying it, and again, that would alter fantasy value for him and, you know, and Adams as well.
Follow up on first base, by the way, 850 OPS for the position. That's extraordinarily
so
high.
High.
Second base is 755.
So that's 100. That's a big difference. But second baseman run and first baseman don't generally, other than Goldschmidt.
Yeah, there's
so
more
than
100
steals.
So from
a fantasy angle, I mean, this is why Jose Peraza is a valuable player. He's stealing bases. There's nothing else, but he's eligible both middle infield spots.
Yeah. You know, first base is one of the weakest for stolen bases. Catcher is the only one worse.
Okay. So what else happened on Tuesday that we need to discuss? I don't know, anything jump out to you? I mean, I had discussed in my building blocks yesterday Mike Montgomery and Ian Happ, and they both were good choices. Montgomery went six innings for his first win of the season. Is he a guy you want to count on? Could you see making Mike Montgomery a top 50 starting pitcher at any point this season in your rankings?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Good. I think that they, by using him in relief, have preserved his innings so that the inning cap concern is much less now than it would have been otherwise. I think he has the natural talent to contend with some of the other guys in his own rotation. I actually think he could be as good in terms of pitch per pitch with John Lackey. But I'm a big Mike Montgomery fan, and I've always been puzzled as to why they went to Eddie Butler instead of Montgomery. I get it that if the Cubs see more swingman value in him, but I like it. I like the move, and I'm all in.
I am, too. And I have him in a deep league, so I'm happy about that. At Fantasy Owners, run out of time to sell on Ervin Santana. Three of his last four outings have been not just bad, but really bad. He won last night, but don't buy into that. He gave up six runs. He shouldn't have won the game.
Yeah, I feel like the answer to this is no, because I don't think anyone was buying at the level of a top 20 starting pitcher. If they were always buying in at 40th or 50th, and you can get something a little better than that today, then yeah, they probably missed their chance.
I think some people were buying, just like some people are buying on Jason Vargas, which looks legitimate. Santana's numbers looked legitimate until three starts ago. So I'm not saying he's been in my top 20, but I had to move Vargas up yesterday in my rankings. I mean, we're in mid-June, Tristan. I mean, I don't want to be caught saying in September I still don't buy Jason Vargas if he's leading the league in ERA. I mean, something's happening there, so... I think some people – I saw Santana dealt in a league or two of mine.
Sure, you know, not but for what? But for what?
It wasn't for, you know, a Greinke type, but it was for basically hitters of the same type of surprise, like Yonder Alonso, who we keep talking about, or Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, if you have gotten great numbers out of Logan Morrison, you're going to want to sell high because you know his career path and you're thinking, well, this can't continue. Or Ryan Zimmerman, how can he stay healthy? And I don't argue that.
Right.
You know, maybe one of these five first basemen going nuts is going to keep doing this. I mean, can you really see a season where Zimmerman, Bellinger, Mark Reynolds, Travis Shaw, Justin Smoke, and Justin Bour all finish in the top 10? They're all in the top 10 on the player radar right now. All those guys that nobody was drafting.
All of them, no. There are definitely more than half of those that I think I won't be surprised if they end up. Maybe not that high, but pretty darn close to it. I think that there's a lot of legitimacy to what Yonder Alonso is doing. The difference between Santana is that if you look at his underlying metrics as opposed to Alonso's, is that like Vargas, they don't miss a lot of bats. They don't rank among the leaders in terms of miss rate, swing and miss rate, chase rate, and things like that. And that means regression is going to hit them a little bit harder than it would for a pitcher who does miss a lot of bats. That's the problem with him. I would take I mean, if you could have gotten Alonso, yeah, you missed out.
Michael Pineda, are you concerned?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in his last four outings, I mean, last night was not a quality start because he needed one more out, but he gave up a lot of hits. That's the Angels, not exactly a fantasy offense juggernaut there. Mm-hmm. ERA's up to 3.56. Strikeouts are still there, but, you know, we're seeing this. Like Kershaw's last outing, he gave up four home runs to the Mets. That's not so good. All right, let me start with Pineda.
Pineda. So
top 20 for
one...
you still?
Only in the matter that there isn't a lot I feel confident about in the top 20. But, I mean, the label does not feel right at all. Let's not forget about how messy Pineda's 2016 was.
Oh, yeah.
And when he is just off a little bit, it kind of goes awry. This was a good matchup for him, and he was a mess from the start. That first inning was not pretty, and he built up too much of a pitch count early in the game, and that has been a big problem for him over the past calendar year plus. I don't want to panic here yet, but we might need to lower the bar to top 30.
But Robbie Ray over Pineda. Those are the two guys
yes.
grouped together from last season. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of runs. But Ray is still doing really, really well. I alluded to this earlier. Kershaw, Sale, and Scherzer. Have you switched your order at all?
I've been bouncing Scherzer and Sale back and forth a little bit.
When are you going to bounce Kershaw to number one? I'm not saying you should. I have right now in my overall top 300, whatever it is, I have Kershaw 8, I have Scherzer 9, and I have Sale 10, which basically is me saying I view them all equally now.
Which is basically you saying I'm not really Eric anymore because I'm drafting a pitcher in the first round.
Well, there's so much power, I don't need to.
I understand
to.
It. I
don't
like
need
it.
To anymore. It's crazy.
But this is the thing. Those three pitchers are a definitive cut above the rest. When would I change the order? I'd probably need to hear a hint that Kershaw was not 100%.
Yeah, I probably need to see more. Any other pitching from last night we need to discuss?
Should we go over the since we went into the Yankee-Angel game, should we talk about their bullpen?
Who, the Yankees?
Angels.
Oh, the Angels. Oh, let's do a closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Next save goes to... But Norris is on the disabled list with a knee injury. Houston Street, I don't know where he is. I think he's still in rehab. Cam Bedrosian, though, pitched the seventh inning last night. What, didn't he?
Yeah. Am I horrible if I say David Hernandez?
David Hernandez is going to get their next save.
Yeah,
it is going to be David Hernandez. I don't know what Socha's doing. I mean, maybe. See, like, this is manager idiocy again. Basically, Cam Bedrosian, we can't put him right into a closer role. We need to, like, give him a couple outings before we do this. Every day I watch these managers not only mangle their lineups, mangle their bullpens, but they keep bunting. Just don't bunt. And they keep intentionally walking. Like, stop intentionally walking a guy in a second inning with a base open because the next guy's going to hit a three-run double. It happens, like, three times a week. But the managers keep doing it, and they're all doing it.
I don't think I'd – I mean, there's maybe a very rare circumstance. I don't know that I'd ever issue intentional walks anymore with the home run rate
when
it is.
I don't think I would ever issue an intentional walk in the first five or six innings of a game.
I think the only way is if you're in the ninth inning at second and third, nobody out, and that's the game if that guy from third scores and you just want to lead a force at any base. That's like the only time I think I'd think about it.
There's a right time to do it, and you and I are in sim leagues, and we do it if necessary. If you've got a lefty on the mound, you can't remove him, and you're facing – Miguel Cabrera, you might do it. It depends. But in the second inning, the third inning, it's just not smart baseball. I love Keith Law's tweets on this. People tweet at him saying, look what this genius just did, this manager. And I'm not going to call anybody out. You can figure it out for yourselves. But these intentional walks, these bunts in the second inning, everybody's hitting a home run. Scooter Jeanneskin hit 22 home runs. And you're still bunting in the second inning of a 2-0 game.
And meanwhile, Bedrosian has been quite fine in those two outings since he's come back.
I don't understand why he's not going to – I think he's got to be their closer over David Hernandez. But he's not. I think David Hernandez probably gets the next save. I think if you own Bud Norris, you've juiced the orange to death, right?
Yeah. I'm concerned about the fact this is an injury that dated back – I think it's – Eric, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong. It's 3 weeks. He originally suffered it in one of the late May games, and he was pitching through it. This opens the opportunity for the guy with the best skills to move in. It might not be today. It might be a week or 2 weeks from now, or maybe it's 2 months from now, or maybe never. But I'd invest in Bedrosian, and if you still have him, hey, pat yourself on the back.
Any other closer stuff you'd like to discuss? I don't see any other jobs changing here, or at least it's Oakland, I suppose. Sean Doolittle versus Sandy Garcia. Who do you think gets the next save there?
I actually think Doolittle is going to get the next save chance, but if righties are up in the ninth, I won't be surprised by the other direction. I would like to ask you a topic on one of them.
All right. Phillies, they never get saved. You know what? I was going to write about that today because the Giants called up Kyle Crick yesterday, who is basically a failed starter because he couldn't stop walking people. But he throws hard, and in a bullpen role this year in AAA, he's been okay, and he has six saves. Then Melanson closed last night, which is fine, but Melanson, I think, is dealing with an elbow injury. And the Giants, obviously, at this point, realize they're not making the playoffs. It's not a contending team. I don't know what you can get for the likes of Hunter Pence or Ty Block if you tried to sell them. And I'm not saying Melanson is going to lose the closer job when healthy because he's there for the next 3 years. But I see him going on the DL at some point. He's clearly, to me, pitching through an injury because he's not pitching as effectively. And I think Crick would get the job. Derek Law got demoted. It's really odd.
That is odd.
Of all the Giants relief pitchers that get sent to the minors, him? So I think Crick might be relevant at some point, but it also could be in a Hector Neris type way. They're not getting anything to save. They're not scoring enough runs. That's a 90-loss team, the Giants, so I'm so glad I picked them to make the playoffs.
Crick does miss bats. He does kind of fit the profile in a relief role. I think it's an interesting move by the Giants. By the way, and Mark Melancon, in terms of pitching in consecutive days, which is what they're talking about in terms of the injury, that's limiting him. He's done it one time since April, on May 20th. May 19th and 20th, he pitched back-to-back. He has not done it at all in the past 2 months. I know there was the DL stint. The reason it came up for me is that right around the time that that story came out about the fact he might not be able to pitch on back-to-back days, I'm offered a trade in my keeper league. It was Logan Morrison for Mark Melancon and Tommy Joseph. And the first thing I thought is, well, I mean, I have to take that, don't I?
You have Morrison.
I have Morrison. And yeah. And then I looked at Melancon, and I'm like, you know what? I'm okay in saves. Is that really necessary for me to do? I might get more value to Morrison.
I never trade for a closer in a dynasty league. I really never
Yeah,
do.
I mean, and I've got
But why would you
amount.
Assume that Melancon was just all of a sudden going to be bad? You
I'm not.
You
it's
shouldn't.
More. It's excess. It's one of those cases where what happens when somebody gives you a trade offer that you feel is so obvious that you need to take it, even if it's excess for you? Do you make the deal?
Sometimes I don't, actually. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I look closer at it and say, this is so obvious, I'm missing something. And in the case of Melancon, a month ago, I don't think we could have known that he was going to have a rough season. And he may not. He might be fine. Fernando Rodney hasn't given up an earned run since April. This stuff changes all the time.
I know.
If you want me to say, I think Melancon is still going to get 25 saves, but I still think there's DL stint in his future, and I think Crick would be next in line for that. I'm going to write about closers for Thursday's blog entry, and I'm going to name a team where I think a change is coming really soon. Which team
Ooh.
Do you think that is?
Ooh, a change coming really soon.
We could just get back to it tomorrow, but...
Oh,
that's
we're
a tease.
Gonna tease. Oh,
that's a tease.
Yeah.
While let's hear, listen to some more sounds. We did have a couple combo meals in the past 2 days.
Hey, it's a combo meal.
On Monday, it was Giancarlo Stanton who's really taking it to that number two lineup spot. I think anybody and everybody who bats second in a lineup is going to do well.
Heart the number two lineup spot.
That's the best spot to be in. Chris Taylor of the Dodgers is not stopping. Everyday left fielder, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. He had one on Monday. And then last night, it was Ian Kinsler. Of these three players, and I think I can ask this, it makes sense, who surprises you the most this year?
Who surprises me the most?
Because you're going to say
Chris Taylor.
But like Stanton hitting for this batting average has to surprise you too. Stanton has been healthy
yes.
all year. He's batting .276. He's on pace for 45 home runs. I don't think we expected that.
But you said the operative words here, healthy all year.
We don't know if that'll continue.
Right. And look, at any given point, Stanton, it could all just go poof if he gets hurt. I mean, and he's had a lot of bad luck in that front. But if we knew he was fully healthy, I think you and I would both agree. He is a tremendous talent.
He is. And I'm starting to think Chris Taylor's not going to stop. And Kinsler, we know what he is. Although Kinsler hasn't had the best season.
No,
okay?
He hasn't. I'm kind of in agreement. It doesn't feel quite right in the gut, but I think you're right about Chris Taylor.
Yeah, it doesn't feel quite right, but it actually looks quite right. Okay, that's the first half of our show. Lyft knows that their drivers are what keep them moving, so they do everything they can to make sure their drivers are happy on every trip. It's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. Maybe that's why 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week, plus tips. Want to earn more money? Drive more! It's never been easier to give yourself a raise. Lyft was the first rideshare platform with tipping built right into the app. Because getting tips shouldn't depend on your passenger having a crumpled bill in their pocket. You keep 100% of the tips, and they add up fast. Drivers have been paid over $200 million since the feature was first introduced. And ExpressPay lets you get paid almost instantly instead of waiting for weeks. Lyft has even taken the guesswork out of pickups. The new AMP device uses color coding to help passengers find their drivers. So join the ride-sharing company that believes in treating its people better. Go to Lyft.com/fantasy today, and you can get a $500 new driver bonus. That's Lyft.com, Lyft/fantasy, Lyft.com/fantasy. Limited time only. Terms apply. All right, Josh, got some good questions for us today?
I think so. They're questions.
That's all we need.
I don't know if they're good.
Are they question-y?
Question-ish.
Question-ish. Okay, that'll suffice.
That'll
exactly.
work.
Yeah. Exactly. The first one is from Ryan. Ryan says, the strikeouts are scary, but Chris Taylor is running plenty. How many steals can we expect from him the rest of the way?
Steals.
Yeah, you know, that's that category that nobody's doing except for Trey Turner and Hamilton and Gordon and Maven. I mean, Taylor's got, wow, 9 home runs and 8 steals. He's going to end up 2020. That's amazing.
He should end up 2020.
A lot more runner than power guy in the minors. Exactly. He was a guy who stole bases. He was in Seattle's system,
yep.
A shortstop. I remember Chris Taylor, okay, and I thought he was going to matter. Of course, I thought Nick Franklin would matter. They had a bunch of guys playing middle infield for them. And it turns out, like, he's the one at 26 on a new team.
He was 38 for 43 in stolen bases in 2013 in the minors. Looks like he had 19 steals in 14. He had 19 steals in 15. He had 17 steals in 16. He is a base stealer.
I'm going to say he ends up at 15 home runs and 21 steals, batting 270. So there's got to be some regression here, I think.
Finishing at 270 or going forward 270?
270 the rest of the way.
All right.
270
very
the
fair
rest
projection.
Of the way. So,
I
mean, I don't know if he's going to end. I mean, look, if he ends up with 15 homers and 21 steals, Tristan, that's going to be a top 10 shortstop, right? Is he eligible shortstop or no? He's third. He's second,
third, and outfield?
No, I think he's just second and outfield. Yeah, he's not third yet. Okay. He needs 3 more games at third base, and he might not get him with Justin Turner back, but huge surprise. Now, he's not going to win any fantasy MVP awards. We have too many guys going nuts, but what a great pickup he's been.
Could it be in the... Well, it's going to be tough at second base.
The problem is, when I do my, MVP of the first half of the season, and it can't just be who's number one on the player rater. It has to be the guy who... His investment was not a first-round pick.
That's tough this year.
It's very tough because nobody drafted Bellinger, and Judge I don't think was drafted in most leagues.
It's probably Judge.
Why over Bellinger?
Because Judge's number... I mean, come on, Judge was the number one guy in the player rater for a couple of... Is he still now? I didn't even check today's update.
No, I think it's Goldschmidt. I think it's always been Goldschmidt. Lately.
No, Judge had a day where he was number one. I remember pulling the numbers. That's crazy.
Well,
he was the
Judge
number one guy in June on one day.
Judge was a 21st-round pick in ESPN average live drafts, according to what I'm looking at, which may or not be right. Bellinger was not drafted. Oh, well, he wasn't. Let me check first base. I don't think Bellinger was drafted at all. And the Dodgers didn't even know what they had either. Let's be fair here, okay? We rip the Mets all the time. Dodgers didn't know what Bellinger was going to do. Not even close. They promoted, Toles was playing left. Brett Eibner got the promotion before Bellinger did. Didn't want to play him in left field. I remember how this all went down.
Yes.
Okay, so this 50 home run season they're going to get out of Bellinger, I'm not saying it's luck.
50? Wow! But he's going to set the rookie record!
Tell me he's not. He's at 22 with more than half a season to go. He didn't even play that much in April. He played all in April.
A Judge could also break that
record. I think they're both hitting 45 home runs.
Well, then they don't break the record.
What's the record? 49?
Oh, yeah, I think it is 49. It's 47 or 49. It's McGuire in 87.
I think, they're both breaking it. Huh? And Bellinger's hitting lefties. He hit the home runs against Andrew Miller. Come on.
Oh, he's so much fun to watch. Andrew Miller, we didn't even talk about him. Oh!
Do you think he's their closer? I don't think he's their closer.
They're saying he's their closer. I agree. I don't think he is either.
Who said that?
The manager.
He said that Miller was his closer.
At least right now, today.
He did?
That's what I thought.
That's kind of a big deal, Tristan. Kind of buried the lead there.
Let me see if I can dig up if there was an exact quote.
Well, while you do that, let's get the next question.
Next question's from Matt. Matt says, with Gleyber Torres now out for the year, who are some low-owned hitters to watch for in the second half that could develop into keeper-level options in a dynasty league?
So I assume you mean prospects. I mean, the question should refer to that because that's what Gleyber Torres was. The guy we always assume is like Gleyber Torres is Ahmed Rosario, who I don't think the Mets are going to call up this month unless, Astrubal comes off the DL Friday and breaks his leg. I just don't see – they don't want to call him up unless he's their everyday shortstop. And right now, with Astrubal still there, what's weird, Tristan, is, so many big league teams have so much to trade away. National League races are almost all but over. The wild card seems over in the National League. Giants will be selling.
I still don't think it's over, but to your point, there's certainly a huge lead built.
It's going to be tough. Let's put it that way. So by thinking that, what are the Mets getting for Astrubal Cabrera? But that's what's holding up Rosario.
Yeah, mid-range, lower.
Who is in
prospects.
The minor leagues right now that we think is still going to get a chance to shine?
In the minors, right? See, I'm going through the ownership percentages.
this guy is Yoan Moncada, who, the White Sox don't seem to be in the hurry that they were 2 months ago. He should be up, I think, in July. Who else? I still think Rafael Devers of Boston in September is their third baseman. Doesn't mean that might be too late in the season for most people, but I mean Sandoval just went on the DL again. Sandoval's done. He's never going to be a valuable player again in fantasy or anything. So Boston basically is going without a third baseman. They could use Freddie Freeman.
I still have Eloy Jimenez.
Not this year.
No, but we're trying to go for guys who still be out in Dynasty League.
If you haven't seen it, people, go Google Eloy Jimenez of the Cubs and the home run he hit in, was it the home run derby the other day?
Mm-hmm.
He hit the lights. It was like a natural.
But, I mean, that's – I think at this point you're going to be doing it – for the blue-chip prospects in a dynasty league, I'm sorry.
You're going to need
to do like a two-year or three-year investment.
By the way, Nick Senzel – it's going to be Josh Donaldson.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Eloy, 1.4% owned. J.P. Crawford's 1.3% owned. Brendan Rodgers, 1.4% owned.
Well, those are all standard redraft leagues. I mean, in a dynasty league, those guys should be owned. Although I'll say this, right. J.P. Crawford, I don't think he needs to be owned anymore in any league. I really don't. He can't hit.
What do you think of in a deeper league, a guy like Raimel Tapia?
I don't think Colorado views him as a starting outfielder.
Okay.
I think they view him as a fourth. And God knows when we're going to see David Dahl again. But this year the Rockies are surprise contenders, so Dahl's not going to play. Like, Dahl could be healthy right now. I don't know. But they were already basically platooning. Like, when Parra was healthy, they were basically platooning Parra and Mark Reynolds because they have to play Ian Desmond. They have a lot of talent, a lot of depth offensively. I view Tapia as a fourth outfielder.
Where is Tyler O'Neill at? Not doing well.
Not doing well for Seattle. Houston just sent down the slugger the other day who was up and hit
Derek Fisher.
Yeah. I mean, they need an injury to get him relevant. But in a long-term league, he's got 25 home run power. And if you want a name or two on the mound, Michael Kopech of the White Sox, Giolito, Lopez, they're all going to be up next year. White Sox are going to be very interesting next year. But good luck trading away
good
Todd
numbers
Frazier.
Actually, Kopech's numbers, the walks in AA bother me a lot. 44 and 66 innings.
He's going to be a walker. Anybody who throws 102 miles an hour is going to walk people.
I remember we saw him throw 95.
And here's a name for you. The only catcher I will name in the minor leagues that's relevant for fantasy right now is Francisco Mejia of the Indians, because that guy's hitting like 370 in the minors. He's developing his power. Defensively, I haven't watched him, but I think he's becoming good enough. The Indians are a playoff team this year. I don't think Mejia gets the call, but I think by next season, he does.
Interesting. They've got a spot for him.
They do. All right, what else we got?
Next one is from Frankie. Frankie says, relax.
Nice.
Frankie also says, lacking depth on my pitching staff, do you still view streaming starters as a reasonable approach? Who are some of your favorites for the rest of the season? Or for the rest of the week, rather. That was my fault.
I think streaming is more viable than ever. Because the average innings per start is below six now, isn't it? For the first time, like, ever?
Oh, jeez.
I think I read that somewhere. I mean, to do streamers for this week, we'd have to go day by day.
Okay.
We'll talk about Wednesday, and we'll talk about Wednesday streamers a little bit later in the show, and then tomorrow we'll obviously do a full comprehensive weekend preview, and I just don't know right off the top.
I'm seeing if I can quickly throw in from looking at the grid. I'll look and get back to you. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's the
Jordan Zimmerman.
I don't want to do that. I mean, obviously, you're looking for bad offenses. Like today, Michael Wacha against the Phillies seems like a can't miss. Okay.
Oh, Brad Peacock in Seattle. Well, Seattle.
Brad Peacock against anybody. Brad Peacock has struck out eight or more batters in what, four of his last five starts,
and he even went
six innings in his last outing. Brad Peacock is legit, people. Anybody who strikes out that many batters, first of all, for DFS, that's key. The strikeouts. For points leagues, that's the big key. Anyway.
I won't say Homer Bailey, so don't worry.
No way. And by the way,
Homer Bailey at Washington.
Reds are calling up Luis Castillo.
Hey, yes, the guy in the
Marlins
trade.
Prospect. And
that was the Straley trade.
It was. And he is supposed to start on Friday's debut. No, I would not use him against Washington, of course. But that's a name. And he skipped AAA, too. I think I have him in my dynasty sim league.
Actually, you know, I want to check the ownership percent. Oh, okay.
Jimmy Nelson's
up to 63%. All right.
He has to be.
Yeah.
He threw a shutout on Sunday.
I'm making sure that he got picked up.
Zach Godley. Although I wouldn't use him at Coors.
Yeah, no way.
Not tomorrow.
After that.
After that, sure. Jesse Hahn, I think, is interesting. But again, tomorrow against Houston.
We get a big hug from somebody who's regularly on the show if we said Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Colorado on the road.
It's a road game.
It's a road game.
Oh, no! I brought him out of the woodworks!
Yes, sir. And it's against Kershaw. We always compare his road numbers to Kershaw. He's got a chance to make it happen.
I was so close to getting that past the goalie.
For those wondering where Kyle the Monster has been for the first 33 minutes of our show, or whatever it's been, he was on the more important podcast. So I think the right thing to do, Tristan, is to not upset the flow of the show. And he should just, you know, go back to his time out in the corner there. And Josh should read the final two or three.
I completely agree. I've been here 10 minutes just listening, but then you brought up Chatwood. I had to get involved.
Oh.
You couldn't resist anymore.
Team Chatwood.
Yeah.
Team Rick Porcello.
Next.
No.
Tristan, Porcello versus Chatwood rest of the year. Who you got? One spot.
Porcello.
Yeah, you're whispering that for a reason.
I'll take that. Porcello with confidence.
I think you're right.
Maybe, but
you have to take
maybe.
You have to take every start.
I'll take Chatwood. I'll take that. But I'm just saying that there was talk of Porcello as a top 10 guy on this podcast.
Yeah,
at one point.
That seems a little bit aggressive. He's out of my top 30 starting pitchers.
We were not talking top 10.
Well, somebody, AJ did. AJ had him ranked 10th in points leagues.
So this is what I've been missing.
Yeah,
I missed us following up on the veggie burger thing.
Okay.
We'll set this up for
a veggie burger right here.
I think you both lost.
This is going to be a veggie burger week.
Sheesh.
We'll extend it for that for the rest of the year. Veggie Burger Week.
It was Chatwood versus Kyle Hendricks, and Hendricks went on the DL.
Yeah, and Chatwood threw a gem again.
Yeah, I think you've used that one, Tristan.
Okay, all right. But I'll take another one. We'll double or nothing.
All right. Chatwood versus Porcello, but it doesn't get decided until the last end of September.
Okay, well, if you want to set a date so we can update it on the show, we could do that. We'll make it through like September 1st.
Sure.
If we still have a show. All right, what's next?
Can I try and get my momentum back, please?
Please.
Thank you. Yeah, this next one from Dalton and Travis. Those two gentlemen say, with the Derek Fisher demotion, is he droppable in all non-keeper formats? Is it crazy to hang on to him in a deep league with the thought that he could be dealt and potentially be a big league regular toward the end of the summer? I have no idea how that was 140 characters.
You know, that's a good point, because ordinarily I would just say you got to drop him because I don't know when he's coming back. He may not be back until September. Josh Reddick's a good player when he's healthy. As I said on Monday's show, he's a good player when he's good. You know, I say the weirdest things sometimes. Somebody on Twitter called me out in a nice way, and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know what I'm saying half the time. Derek Fisher...
He's a well-paid player, too, Josh Reddick, which means he's going to have a long leash.
It does mean that. I think I would drop him now, and I don't expect him... I mean, it takes an injury. But I can name three guys on every team that if they got hurt, then somebody else matters.
Yeah.
That's the problem here.
The other issue with that trade comment here, and by the way, he probably took out all the vowels to get that under 140 characters, is that we always assume that a prospect is going to get traded to another team, instantly step into the starting lineup and succeed. That's an awful lot of steps that have to happen in perfect order for things to result. Give me an example of one case where that did happen. Anyone?
I gotta have to think the last year, and I can't think right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you this.
Like, if Houston and the Giants make a trade, for example, okay, whatever it is, okay, Giants don't like Derek Law anymore. Houston can use him in the seventh inning. Derek Fisher's part of the trade back. May not make sense. I'm just using that as an example. The Giants are using Austin Slater in left field, and he's playing well. They're using Hunter Pence in right field, and I don't know if they're going to be able to trade him before the end of July. So if you're the Giants in mid-August, do you play Derek Fisher, who you're going to have the rights to forever, or do you play Hunter Pence, who you can't trade and you like because he's a good guy? Mm-hmm. They're going to play Pence.
Right. And
they're not going to do what the Phillies did yesterday to Michael Saunders. It's not the same thing.
I think it also comes down to the Ahmed Rosario situation where they do think about service time.
Absolutely.
If there's no reason to have the guy up, why burn service time days?
So I risk saying this and looking bad if Fisher's back in a week, but I'd probably drop Fisher.
I would drop him too. Right. In a redraft.
Andrew says, with a 3.89 FIP and over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, is Marco Estrada a buy low option after getting shelled on Monday? Or is his 12.67 June ERA a red flag and a reason to sell low / cut ties?
No, I'm buying. BABIP is like 500 this month. Sorry. He has been too good for the last 2.5 years I don't know what's wrong with him this month. I mean, Tampa got 12 hits off him in 3 1/3. that seems like one of those days where just everything was falling in for him.
I just want to say that Josh just gave the prettiest pronunciation of the word FIP I've ever heard.
FIP.
That was beautiful. Thanks. I want to hear FIP said just that way for all eternity now. We got to tape that and save it for the show. And I fully believe in his FIP. I think Marco Estrada is... I cannot believe people are doubting him. There was a blip in last year's game log, too. If you look back at it, Estrada had a very good finish. I think he's going to correct it.
I think so, too. I'm leaving. He's still among my top 50 starters.
Agreed.
Probably doesn't rank well enough in my rankings. I admit that.
Another guy who doesn't naturally miss a league-leading number of bats. So, Eric, I'm with you on that. But top 50, yep.
He's got 96 strikeouts in 85 innings.
Mm-hmm.
He's missing plenty of bats.
His stuff doesn't naturally do that year over year.
Oh, no. And he's throwing he's throwing 90 miles an hour on his fastball. So
right.
I don't know how he's doing this. But
he's shown us enough of a track record now that
we have to stop being surprised by these home runs and these strikeouts. If guys like Estrada and Brad Peacock are going to strike, Peacock's striking out 14 batters per nine innings as a starter. And he's able to do that because all these hitters are trying to hit home runs. So they're going to strike out.
He's a weird example.
And Brad Peacock isn't some hot prospect at 23 years old. He's like 29. He's been around for a long time as like a swing man who never could do anything.
Didn't he get traded several times?
No, he's been with Houston for a while. He was originally in Washington. He was a starting pitcher prospect in Washington. I remember that. I can't remember who he was traded for. I can look.
But, I'm looking.
But,
I'm
I mean,
curious.
He failed as a starter on the bad Houston teams, okay, which he was going to. They were bad. They were losing 100 games every year.
Traded twice.
Who was he traded for?
He was in the Gio Gonzalez trade. I thought he went to the A's at one point. And then he was in that Jed Lowry A's and Astros trade.
Right, so he didn't ever pitch in the majors for the A's. He's 29 years old, barely pitched in the majors each of the last two seasons. And now he's got a million strikeouts. His strikeout rate is actually higher than Kimbrel's, I believe, as a starter.
A million strikeouts.
I want to make sure about that.
And he didn't even have them in the minors. I mean,
no, he didn't. I don't know how this is happening. Yeah, no,
now
it's not high. It's not higher than Kimbrel. Kimbrel's at 16.7 Ks per nine. Is that not ridiculous, what he's doing? What's more impressive to you, Kimbrel's K rate or Kenley Jansen's walk rate? a serious question.
Probably Jansen's. I'm usually more impressed by the walk rates.
These numbers. These two guys, to me, are by far the best two closers right now. I moved them into, like, round six of my rankings. I've changed.
Wait, who are you?
I've changed. I have
to. You have three pitchers in your top 10, and you have closers in your top 60? Who are you?
What are you doing?
Who are you? It's like I don't even know you.
Kimbrel could win Cy Young.
Oh.
If Kimbrel keeps this up, like, he can't win Cy Young because there's always going to be, like, Chris Sale striking out 290 batters. But, man, this is, like, you complained about Zach Britton last year. By the way, Kimbrel's having a better year than Zach Britton, and it's not even close, and you can give me whatever grief you want about it, and I'll ignore it. I get Twitter grief, and I don't care. Kimbrel's having a better year than Britton.
Than Britton?
Yes. Look at that K rate.
Oh, that he's having a better year than Britton's year. Oh, yeah.
Britton's last
year. This year. Yeah.
By the way, Britton's going to be back in about a week. So if you own Brad Brock, sell.
I'm trying to find out who was the last guy that Kenley Jansen walked.
Probably a Philly.
It was in the final game last year against the Giants.
Phillies have won like one game in the last 3 weeks. It was over Chris Sale. All right, one more question?
One more from Matt. Matt says, Sano has slowed down a little but still provides power. What's his value the rest of the season, Roto versus points?
Well, obviously, he's going to strike out over 200 times. So a points league with strikeouts, he's less valuable. But he's also going to hit 40 home runs. 290 is a little bit high, right? I mean, yeah, it's a lot high. His BABIP is over 400. Miguel Sano, the thing that scares me about Sano, Tristan, is that he could bat 230 the rest of the season. I legitimately think that's a possibility with his K rate.
If that were the case, then wouldn't we want him more in a points league than a Roto league?
I don't think so, because he's going to strike out too much.
He is a walk and doubles king, and that neutralizes some
he's
of the
not
K's
a doubles. He
leagues.
Has 10 doubles all year and 17 home runs.
But I'm talking the natural year-over-year talent here, that if you look at the isolated power numbers dating back to the minors, he's routinely in the 250 to 275 range.
I mean, I think I'd rather have him than Evan Longoria now.
Oh, yeah. In Roto, I think he was always ahead of him, like for a month.
Yeah.
Easily. I like this guy. I think he's better than people give him credit in a points league. I'm actually going to see if I can, as I try to change the split types here.
Just be careful if you own twins, okay? Except for Max Kepler, who's been underachieving. But, like, Kinsler's not going to have – not going to double his saves. This is a team that's not going to be as good in the second half of the season. We saw this a couple years ago. Sano's going to calm down a little bit here. I just – you can see some of this is, like, pretty obvious. Like, you can't win that many one-run games.
How many homers is Sano hitting the rest of the year?
He's at 17 now. I think he hits 24 more.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
So he ends up at 41. He's a 41, a 40 home run guy. He's better than Chris Davis of the A's.
I'll say he's top 40 similar, in Roto actually. And top 50 in points.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, those are the questions for today. And there will be more questions that we answer on Thursday's show. So keep sending your hash browns to some, what is the hashtag? It's 06010MLB.
That's correct.
So keep sending them there. I don't know who's going to be on tomorrow's show. I'm just being honest. But just send them along, and somebody, whoever's producing, whoever's hosting, whatever, will find them. Wednesday's schedule. There is a game on ESPN, and it's at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And look at this. It's Pill versus Hill. Pick your poison.
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Tyler Pill of the Mets and Rich Hill of the Dodgers. And, of course, you would take Hill here. But are you taking Hill here? Are you going to use him? Because I've given up on him as a top 30 starting pitcher.
Well, the Mets do...
They hit homers.
Well, they do kind of stink against left-handed pitchers, but I threw a DFS pick on Yoenis Cespedes. I don't think the Mets should be discarded here. I think this could be one of those sneaky good high-scoring games on both sides.
Oh, I absolutely think...
9-6?
I think the Mets are scoring off. Rich Hill has no... He has nary a quality start this year, Tristan. 8 starts, nary a quality start. Now, he's got a strikeout per inning, but his command is way off, control's off, walking people.
He's already given up more deep enough in games for a quality start. He doesn't.
He 4 innings, 5 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings. That's his last month. No way. I'm not using him. I am using, on the other hand, Sean Manaea against Houston. Do you like it or no?
I do like it. That's a great contrarian play. I think people would assume on paper that's a bad matchup, but I like him just like I liked him against the Yankees and, well, Aaron.
Would you rather use Manaea or Jeff Hoffman at home against the Diamondbacks? That's at Coors Field. I'm buying Jeff Hoffman, though.
I'm buying Jeff Hoffman, but when you're dropping it into today's schedule, it's awkward, and I would take Sean Manaea.
I think today I would take Manaea. What about Junior Guerra, who's, again, pitching way over his head? Home against Pittsburgh, not exactly a great offense.
Kind of like it, but Pittsburgh's offense is not quite the top-shelf matchup that I think people believe it is.
Is there going to come a time where we just like, how did Junior Guerra ever do this? Or is it going to be like 3 years later and we're like, this is the next Marco Estrada? Like, nobody likes Junior Guerra, but the numbers are always there. He's not striking out a lot of guys. That's a problem. But.
Yeah, I mean...
Would you rather use Junior Guerra today?
It's 6 starts.
Or Sean Newcomb? The Braves rookie at home against the awful Giants.
Guerra. Well, I mean, that Giants matchup, yeah, but I think I'd go Guerra here.
All right.
You'd go Newcomb?
I think I'd go Newcomb. I see a win.
Is Newcomb a K guy?
Newcomb's a K and a walk guy, but eventually he's James Paxton. It's going to take him some time. What do you think of that?
Interesting.
Crazy like a fox.
3 years from now, he's going to be awesome.
Do not use Kevin Gausman today. Use Yankee hitters. Ricky Nolasco is awful. Any other pitcher hitter stuff? Using Joe Biagini at Texas.
Awful.
Joe Biagini versus Tyson Ross. Who you got? Probably neither. Tyson Ross's first outing was fine.
I was forced into using Tyson Ross in a couple of cases, much deeper leagues. Given the choice, I'll give Ross the slight edge here. I think Biagini has a better odds of going deeper in this game, though.
Eduardo Escobar, if he plays today for Minnesota, you see what he's doing this month? 489 batting average, obviously BABIP through the roof, but with power, with more walks and strikeouts, and for the season, he's torching lefties. He's facing a lefty today, and David Holmberg is pitching way over his head, so that's one matchup you could use there. Kyle likes Yankee hitters, and you like Cespedes. I'd say even Conforto against Rich Hill, I'd use him.
Yes, I would too, because he is going to be in that spot in the lineup anyway. The Mets have treated him like an everyday player. I wanted to take Brewers in that home game against Trevor Williams. I just couldn't find a guy that had the right price point.
Kyle says it's National Selfie Day. You going to take a selfie of yourself today?
You know, when I saw that, Kyle, the first thing I thought of was the song.
What song?
There's a song, the selfie song.
There is?
There's a song.
I'm missing this.
It's called Selfie.
It was
Josh,
in Star
you know
Wars
what I'm talking
time.
About, right?
You
literally
Star Wars.
Nobody here knows what you're talking about.
It was in Star Wars, Eric. I know enough about Star Wars to know that wasn't the case.
If you would just watch Star Wars, you would know about National Selfie Day.
Right. I need a way to watch Star Wars. That's the problem.
Don't bring the selfie sticks to the stadiums. You're not allowed.
Goodness, this crazy show. We're done for today, but thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. And also, don't forget about the Fantasy Football Podcast, because they did one today, and I'm sure it's awesome. I can't wait to listen. That's all for Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday for Josh Macri. Great job producing. Tristan, Kyle the Monster, and Tom. I'm Eric Carabell. Have an awesome day. Everything is
awesome. Darkness. Let me take a selfie.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.